Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm thinking of me first. 909. Thank you both. Have a great day, Ian and Courtney. 909. We're joined by Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Good morning, Rafael. How are you?
I'm still hurting from the game yesterday. I'd take that trade.
You would, really? You'd trade the cool weather? Man.
I would. I love the cold weather, but, you know, you only have a couple of games, and, you know, I hate to see us fall behind.
Well, now you're making me feel guilty. tell me about, and I am real quick, since you brought it up, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but how long does it take you to get over a loss like that?
It better not be long, because, you know, they're going to be traveling to Europe. And
they're there already,
They need to flush that and move on to the next one.
Maybe the trip will be good. Maybe it'll be good to get away. Yeah. Tell me about the new deployment strategy with NOPD that we didn't have time to discuss last time you were with us.
So I met with one of the consultants last week, and they have a pretty ambitious plan. It is more than just putting some of the officers that were, you know, working in some of the other support bureaus out on the streets. They have a targeted plan dealing with proactive policing, identifying some of the hot spots in some of the problematic districts, identifying the worst offenders there and attempting to build sufficient evidence to arrest, prosecute, and convict them. So, I think that, you know, the plan will be judged by its effectiveness, and the effectiveness will be measured by a reduction in the crime rate. So, I think the consultants, they have experience. The NOPD knows what needs to be done. The reason that they haven't done some of these things is because of the numbers of officers that are available. Now, moving those officers out of some of the other bureaus of the police department are going to adversely affect those bureaus, but we're in a position now where we have to do something about the violence, and this plan is all about trying to identify the violent offenders, arrest them, prosecute them, and keep them off the streets.
In terms of population, it's a very small percentage of people that are wreaking the havoc, right?
Exactly. And even further, you've got two police districts that are responsible for about 50% of the violent crime in the city of New Orleans. So their approach to addressing the violent crime problem is very targeted, and they're going to be additional resources and deployments in the high crime districts in the city of New Orleans right now. Because not only are the offenders committing crimes in those districts, they're migrating out into some of the other districts, so that if they can identify and arrest the people responsible in those hot spots, they'll be reducing violent crime citywide.
When you say proactive policing, what does that look like on the ground?
Okay, so essentially, in every police district, you have detective bureaus. So the operations or patrol division may get there, but that means a crime is already committed. So the patrol officers will write a report, and if arrest isn't made, it goes to the Detective Bureau for further investigation. But with the numbers of the department down, including in the detective bureaus, those detectors are overwhelmed. So what the strategies is going to be is to identify strategically who are the people responsible for the hot spots in those particular districts. And then the detectives are going to attempt to develop sufficient evidence to link them to the crimes that are being committed. So I think that that's going to be the proactive approach in this, identifying who the problem people are and seeing if they can develop sufficient evidence. And that may mean boosting the detective bureau in those particular hot spots for a period of time before they migrate to some other hot spots in other parts of the city.
Is this primarily coming from CIs? That's where the I guess it's what you call them, right? Maybe I've been watching too much TV, Raphael. I'm not trying to adopt too much jargon here. But is that what you're talking about, confidential informants, and that the police are going to start working them maybe more, or try to develop more?
Well,
is that what this looks like?
So essentially, if the police can identify a suspect, it's sort of like a Crime Stoppers tip.
Mm-hmm.
So when Crime Stoppers supplies a tip to the police department as to who the perpetrator was of a particular crime, the police just can't go out and arrest that individual. They have to confirm that that individual committed that crime. And the standard to arrest is probable cause, a reasonable suspicion that the crime was committed by that offender. And to prosecute and convict them, it's a higher standard, proof beyond a reasonable doubt. So those detectives are going to be trying to identify who the offenders are that are responsible for those crimes in those districts, particularly the violent offenders. And that will mean that the detective's task will not just be to develop probable cause, because that means they can only arrest. They need to be able to develop sufficient evidence to prosecute and convict, which is the standard that the district attorney's office applies when they make a decision to prosecute, and that's the legal standard that a judge or a jury is going to apply if they're going to find somebody guilty.
Juvenile justice consists of a lot more of the justice system than the police department. I want to take a break. We come back. I know Newell later on is going to talk to a carjacking victim who there's some question about whether or not mm-hmm. he was, you know, I'm talking about, I'll tell the audience, whether or not
he knew
when the trial was going to occur, because he was the witness. And when he showed up, they told him the trial had already happened. So we'll talk about that when we come back. And Newell's going to actually talk to the gentleman to which this happened. We're talking to Raphael Goyeneche, president of Metropolitan Crime Commission. That's going to be some must listening with Newell Norman on his show today. He'll talk to this carjacking victim that showed up at court, and they said, no, you missed it. The trial was already over, and he didn't hear anything from the DA's office. We'll be back in a flash. WWL. 9:22 now, WWL. And Newell Norman is going to talk to, I believe it's Patrick Dennis is a gentleman's name, that was a carjacking victim, and something went wrong with the DA's office. Our guest is Raphael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. I want to hear when Newell talks to this gentleman as well. But basically, I don't know, do you want to tell the story, Raphael? Maybe you'd be able to better do it than me.
Well, I don't know the whole story. If this is the same case, we were contacted late last week.
Well, I'll read it from the Fox 8 Live article then. Patrick Dennis was going to testify against a 16-year-old who wanted to carjack, held him up at gunpoint. But apparently the DA's office, he says, didn't notify him when the trial was going to happen. And when he got, and again, I'm just giving you the thumbnail sketch here, Newell talked to him at 10:10. But when he got to court, they said, well, no, that happened a long time ago. That case has already been adjudicated. They didn't have any witnesses, so they let the guy go. And this man is noticeably upset, saying, well, wait a minute, what are you talking about? You didn't even tell me the trial was going to happen. Are you hearing a lot of this from the DA's office? Is this an isolated incident? Because it all goes.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could, the best plans of the road to, what am I trying to say here? It's all about the weak link in the chain, right, Raphael?
Exactly.
It can just go to hell at any moment. Go ahead.
So that case is a little bit worse than what you presented, because that witness, that victim, was contacted about a trial, and he was told to come to court for the trial. And when he got to court, and he began to be questioned by the prosecutor, he said, "That's not my case. That's another case. This juvenile was arrested for multiple armed robbery / carjackings." Mm-hmm. So they called this guy to court for a case that he wasn't a victim or a witness in. And then he said, "Well, what about my case?" And that's when he found out that his case was plea bargained in this. He was never contacted. And according to him, he said, "Well, we couldn't get you to come to court, so we had to cut a deal with this kid." And he's saying, "Nobody ever contacted me." So if that's the same case, and even if it isn't, it's really an embarrassing situation for the district attorney's office. That should not happen. That says that the people in the juvenile division weren't doing their jobs, and that's something that needs to be addressed by the DA.
A lot of people are going to say, well, you know, maybe if Jason Williams didn't have his other job that he could be paying attention to this. Is there any indication that Jason Williams' other job is having an effect on his work as district attorney, detracting from
him? There isn't. He hasn't started that other job yet.
Okay.
But the thing is, Jason Williams was elected to run the office, not to try cases. He's trying cases. He's a good litigator. That's fine and good, but he's supposed to have enough attorneys to try those cases. His job is to manage that office to make sure that situations like we just discussed don't occur. So I think that the fact that he's trying a case, you know, is maybe a inefficient or ineffective use of his skills and talents and the requirements of him being the district attorney. Because when you have witnesses that aren't being contacted and drop balls like we've just talked about, that's an indication that, you know, there's some problems with some of the management. Mm-hmm. And if he's trying a case, and this is a long case, I mean, a lot of work went into this. This is a cop killer case. And I think the case is still being litigated. I didn't hear if there was a verdict yet. But last week, that's what he was doing the entire week, and he was in trial prep a couple of weeks before that. So in the meantime, you have situations like witnesses not being contacted and problems in the juvenile division, and that's something that the district attorney has to address. ADAs are responsible for trying cases. And I think that that's a priority that Jason needs to re-examine.
We hear about manpower shortage at NOPD, woman power, just a personnel shortage, I guess I should say. What about the DA's office? Do they have everybody they need, or do you know, Raphael?
No, they don't. They're down, and they don't have enough experience to try some of these cases. That's why you're seeing the DA trying some of these cases. So I've spoken to Jason, and we have, you know, talked about some solutions, and he has a good idea that I'm waiting to see if he can put that together, and the Crime Commission would support it, and I think a group of other people would support it as well. So just as there's shortages in police manpower, there's also some staffing deficiencies in the district attorney's office.
I'm presuming you're not quite ready to talk about that publicly?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
So
yeah.
Traditionally, is it lawyers fresh out of law school that get their experience and what is it, get their chops by trying cases in a DA's office or public defenders or what? How does that work?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's where I started out right out of law school. My first job was in the district attorney's office. So that is a great training ground. And in that court, you know, that is the only district court in the state that devotes 100% of the entire bench to criminal matters. And those cases, so you got 12 sections of court. Right now, there's about 700 violent felony cases involving inmates in the jail that are waiting to be tried. And that's just the in-custody inmates. So the backlog of cases is, because of COVID, is probably in the thousands. There's over 200 cases in custody of people waiting to be tried on homicide charges. So you need more prosecutors. You need prosecutors that have experience in trying these types of cases, because those offenders can't plead guilty. They won't plead guilty because they're looking at decades, if not life in jail.
What's the percentage of cases that are pled out and don't even go to trial? Do you know?
I can't tell you the exact number. It's going to be over 97%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't try all of those cases. So you have to offer deals, and that's not a dirty word, offering a deal. What is a problem that we've documented is that the district attorney's office, only 10% of the violent felonies are resolved as a guilty is charged. And over 56% of the violent felonies are resolved either as a dismissal or as a misdemeanor plea deal. That's a failure within the district attorney's office. That's a reflection that they don't have enough attorneys to try some of these cases. That's another policy that Jason Williams has refused to reexamine, and that is the absolute ban on using the habitual offender statute. You have to be able to use that to leverage violent offenders into pleading to jail time. Because if that's off the table, then if you want them to plead, you have to give them a deal. And that usually means that they're not going to jail for a felony crime of violence. And that undermines the police department's ability to engender trust in the community, and you need those victims and witnesses to cooperate with the police. And if the system has failed in holding violent offenders accountable, then the next time that the police need the eyes and ears of citizens and witnesses, they're not going to cooperate. And that leads to the violent crime cycle that we've been experiencing for the past 3 years.
You know, that's internal workings, and it's not going to make for a sexy headline, but that seems terribly important to me, and I just wonder, is the DA willing to move on that, or have you had any conversations with him about that?
Yes, and he has some plans, and I know this last 2 weeks he's been distracted with his trial. Yeah. So, and it's an important case. It's a cop killer case.
Mm-hmm.
But he should have people in his office that can try those cases so he can look at the bigger picture, the management picture, and make sure that the office is, you know, got the right supervisors in the right positions and looking for opportunities to boost the resources that his office needs to be successful.
What is a realistic time frame as far as increasing the manpower of NOPD?
Well, you know, I think that we're going to probably see the pay raises approved in this budget cycle that's coming up. So, but they're not going to probably hit until next year. And that's when I think that you'll start to see academy classes fill up. I just went to the graduation of the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office Training Academy last Thursday, and there were 24 deputies that graduated from their training academy. The NOPD just graduated a class of 18 a couple of weeks before that. Mm. So the capacity for every academy in the NOPD right now is about 30. And 18 was the number that graduated from the NOPD academy. It should be double that. So we need to start filling those academy classes up and cycling them through much more rapidly than we're doing. But again, we don't have to wait to hire 300 or 400 more officers to address the crime problem. This deployment plan that, you know, we just started talking about, that went into effect Monday, that is going to produce results if the plan is executed properly between now and the end of the year. We should start to see some of the violent crime rate come down as that deployment plan arrests and identifies and prosecutes the violent offenders that they're targeting.
Any final thoughts, Raphael?
Well, again, you know, this is a long time in coming. It's not an indictment of the police department. It's an indictment of the mayor and the political leadership, or the lack of leadership and foresight. If we'd address this issue back in 2020 when the Crime Commission started talking about it, we wouldn't be in this situation. But we are. We've acknowledged we have a problem, and now at least we're moving forward. So I'm cautiously optimistic that we can start to turn this this crime trend around. And it started with the mayor acknowledging that you know, we need more officers and putting more resources, not just in pay, but in tools and supplies and the type of equipment that the police need to be more effective. And that will also boost the morale, which will help with retention and recruitment.
Thank you, Raphael. I appreciate your time. Raphael Goyeneche, President of Metropolitan Crime Commission. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the tropics with Peyton Malone over WWL-TV. I will remind you again that Newell Norman is at 1010, right at 1010 as he gets started, is going to be talking to that victim, Patrick Dennis, that a big miscommunication with the district attorney's office. He goes to court one time and they tell him, well, yeah, he tells them, no, actually, you got the wrong case. It's somebody else. So then he's waiting to go back to court for that somebody else, and he never gets a notice. And when he does go, they tell him, oh, that case has already been adjudicated, and he's pretty angry about it, and I can't wait to hear what he has to tell Newell at 1010. 9:35 now, 25 till 10. Take a break. Come back here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.